The church is empty, and so is the tomb. You know, a boy was asked by his teacher, why did Jesus use a borrowed tomb? And the boy replied, because he will only use it for 3 days. No, that's the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. No, malungkot man tayo ngayon sapagkat walang laman ang mga simbahan natin, pero isang magandang paalaala sa atin na ang libingan ni Jesus ay wala ring laman. At dahil doon, may pag-asa tayo at meron tayong dahilan para magpuri sa Kanya. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 20, verses 1 to 2 and verses 15 to 16. At titingnan po natin ang sinasabi ng salita ng Diyos about the resurrection. Sabi po sa verse 1 and 2 ng John 20, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they have put him. Verse 15, he asked her, woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. Verse 16, Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. The Lord blessed the reading of His word. Alam po ninyo, the Jews and the Romans tried to contain the dead Jesus, the body of Jesus in the tomb by sealing it with a stone. The scholars right now are still debating whether this stone is the disc-shaped rolling stone or the cork-shaped blocking stone. Well, either way, the purpose of the stone is to put a stop to the influence of Jesus even in his death. But they could not because Jesus moved the stone. And he is still in the business of moving stones. And that's the title of our message today. He still moves stones. Galing po yan, ang title na yan kay Max Lucado. Okay. So sa ating pong buhay, mga kapatid, may mga bato sa buhay natin. There are stones in our lives that will try to stop us. You know, sometimes the enemy uses the stone to stop us from encountering God, from containing us so we will not know our purpose, from blocking, for blocking our destiny, to lock us up, to lock us down, and probably to lock us for good. Yan ang ginagawa ng kaaway sa atin. And using stone, hanggang ngayon, ginagamit niya pa rin yung mga bato to block us out, to stop us. But we are unstoppable in Jesus' name. Now, tingnan natin kung ano itong mga bato na ginagamit o mga stones na ginagamit ng kalaban natin to disrupt us and to stop us from fulfilling God's purpose in our lives. In John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18, makikita natin yun. Number one is this. It's the stone of disbelief. The stone of disbelief. Ang disbelief daw is either the refusal or the inability to believe. It involves spiritual blindness. It's the typical condition of the unbelievers. They become spiritually dull, and they are prevented from seeing the truth. At this particular point, the disciples also experience unbelief because they could not comprehend what Jesus was saying, that He will rise from the dead. Imagine niyo, when you look at Mark chapter 8, sinabi niya na doon sa kanyang mga disciples in secret na, sabi niya, the Son of Man will be killed and on the third day, He will rise again. And then chapter 9, binanggit niya ulit, the Son of Man will be killed and on the third day, He will rise again. And on chapter 10, sinabi niya ulit, the Son of Man will be killed and He will rise again on the third day. In fact, sa sobrang dami na niyang beses na sinabi na siya'y mamamatay, ano, yung mga kalaban niya, narinig na yun eh. At nung narinig ng mga kaaway yun, siniguro talaga nila na hindi mawawala yung katawan ni Jesus sa libingan. Kaya nga nagstasyon ng mga gwardiya doon to ensure that nobody will steal the body. These disciples were not expecting any miracle at all. Wala pong nakaunawa sa kanila, walang nakaintindi sa kanila ng sinasabi ni Jesus na mabubuhay akong muli. Talaga pong, kung titingnan natin dito, ni isa sa kanila, wala man lang nagtangka na mag-vigil o masabi natin na mag-watch kung si Jesus ba ay mabubuhay na maguli o hindi. They were all in hiding. They were all discouraged. They were all despondent with the fact that Jesus, no, their hope, already died. So, theologically speaking, makikita po natin dito na concerning faith, faith is impossible. We cannot by our own minds understand the ways of God. Without help from the Spirit, we can never comprehend, you know, the truth that God is presenting us. Unless i-aid niya tayo, unless bigyan niya tayo ng regalo. Kaya nga, ang laging sinasabi, faith is a gift. Wala tayong may pagmamalaki sa Panginoon. Kailangan niyang tulungan tayo na mamulat ang ating mga mata, mamulat ang ating isip, mamulat ang ating puso, at saka tayo magdedesisyon, ano? Pero malibang tayong tulungan ng Panginoon, it's an impossibility for us to even believe. Kaya kung ikaw ay nananampalataya sa Panginoon, you should be thankful to the Lord. You should be thankful to Him. Why? Because He has opened the eyes of your faith. He has opened your heart. He has opened your mind. And He has given you spiritual discernment. Meron ding iba, mga hindi talaga naniniwala sa Panginoon, but because of the grace of God, no, kagaya nitong si Lee Strobel when he wrote The Case for Christ, si Frank Morrison, no, na itong dalawa na to, they set out to disprove, to dispute the veracity and the truthfulness and the historicity of the resurrection. Pareho pong atheist ito, hindi naniniwala sa Diyos. Pero alam nyo, nung sila ay nagpunta doon sa Israel and they probed and investigated and examined all the facts, the artifacts, history, and even the scriptures, you know, they end up believing the Lord. Not because of the facts that they discovered, but because God had grace on them and helped them understand. So we praise God for the gift of faith. So the stone of disbelief and now the stone of doubt. Siguro tinatanong niyo, Pastor, may kaibahan ba yung disbelief sa doubt? Well, yung disbelief para sa mga non-believers, doon sa mga hindi talaga sumasampalataya pa sa Panginoon. Ito namang doubt is, I think, is for the believers. No, doubt is not the absence of faith. Doubt is the questioning of faith. Ibig sabihin nito, you already have some sets of beliefs, no? Kaya lang you kind of doubt the truthfulness of your beliefs. Meron mga nagsasabi na, manampalataya ka na lang kahit walang ebidensya, no? Siguro, total, ang pananampalataya naman is blind, sabi daw, you know, faith is blind, or a leap in the dark. Kahit walang evidences, kahit it is illogical, irrational, dahil sinabi ng Biblia, it's a mystery, paniwalaan mo na lang. Well, mga kapatid, I just want to clarify na Christianity is not irrational. Christianity is not illogical. No? Christianity is rational. We don't simply say na dahil hindi natin kayang ipaliwanag at walang ebidensya, tanggapin mo na lang. No, hindi po ganun. And let me just give you some evidences, no, about the historicity and the truthfulness of the resurrection. Kasi po, the resurrection is the bedrock of our faith. Kapag ka ito ay napasubalian o na-refute at nasabing hindi totoo, no, all that we hold on to will crumble. Our faith will be meaningless. Our hope for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the resurrection of our own physical bodies, they will go down the drain. Kaya nga itong inaatake ng marami. No, bakit? Kasi kapag napatunayan nila na hindi talagang nabuhay si Jesus mula sa mga patay, ibig sabihin, hindi totoo ang kanyang mga sinabi. Let me tell you that even before Jesus died, He already predicted that He will rise again. Hindi yung nagkagulatan na lang na parang bigla na lang nabuhay na muli. No, He predicted it. He prophesied that after 3 days, He will rise again. Ang kailangan lang ngayon natin gawin, patunayan natin na talaga bang siya ay nabuhay na maguli. Kasi maraming nagsasabi, ninakaw lang daw yung katawan. Mayroon namang nagsasabi na hindi naman talaga namatay si Jesus, nahimatay lang, no, na-revive lang siya. No? At maraming nagpapasubali dito sa resurrection. No? Kaya kinakailangan pong makita natin, meron ba talagang evidences? No? Meron ba talagang pangyayari sa kasaysayan na si Jesus ay nabuhay na maguli? Let me just share 3 simple evidences. No? Number 1 is the testimonies of His disciples. No, bakit mahalaga yung testimony ng mga disciples? Sapagkat ito yung mga taong nakapalibot sa Kanya. They are the eyewitnesses. They not only saw Him, they heard Him, they felt Him, they touched Him. At napakahalaga ng kanilang testimonya. Okay, sabi ni Apostle Paul sa 1 Corinthians 15, no, maraming nakakita kay Jesus after His resurrection, just like Peter, si James, at ang sabi niya, there are more than 500 disciples who saw Him at the same time. And they even touched Him. No, naalala niyo, humingi pa nga siya ng isda at ng tinapay para kumain, para patunayan na ako talaga to, hindi ako apparition, hindi ako ghost. Sabihin natin, nagsisinungaling ba yung mga disciples when they began proclaiming that Jesus rose again from the dead? Anong mapapala nila kung magsisinungaling sila? And imagine, would 10 of His disciples actually be willing to die a martyr for a lie? I don't believe anybody will die for a lie. So they could not possibly lie. Hindi lang yun. Sabi nung iba, nag-hallucinate lang daw yung mga disciples. Sobrang, alam mo yun, sobrang sila ay depressed, discouraged, no? At sila ay nalulungkot, namimiss nila si Jesus. So, para daw nagkaroon ng apparition, no? Parang nag-hallucination sila. Kaya lang, how would you explain na ang daming nakakita in a span of 40 days? Ang labo naman nun, no? Nasabay-sabay sila nag-hallucinate. Normally, ang hallucination, nangyayari lang yan kapag isang tao. And how would you explain the Apostle Paul on his way to Damascus? He was neither hallucinating nor emotionally down. In fact, he was so passionate to attack and to assault the Christians. No? At wala siyang emotional attachment kay Jesus Christ para siya mag-hallucinate. But he saw Jesus Christ in His glory in broad daylight. So that could not be hallucination. Yung testimony sa mga disciples na ito ay napakahalaga. Kasi ang lapit nila dun sa insidente. Marami kasi mga philosophers na nagsasabi, ang resurrection naman, nag-evolve lang yan, yung legend na yan eh. No? Through the years, nag-evolve lang. Hindi pwedeng nag-evolve lang, hindi pwedeng legend ito. Bakit? Kasi nung sumulat na si Mark, 7 years after the actual event, ay masasabi natin na talagang ang lapit doon sa insidente. At ang lapit din ng Jerusalem, no, doon sa tomb. Yung tomb, katabi lang niya, halos sa labas lang siya ng Jerusalem. It is so accessible, and so people, during their time, can investigate. But ang tanong nung panahon na yon, walang naka-refute. At hindi lang yon, no? Sabi nitong si, let me quote Timothy Keller, sabi niya dito, the empty tomb account in the Gospel of Mark is based upon a source that originated within 7 years of the event it narrates. This places the evidence for the empty tomb too early to be legendary and makes it much more likely that it is accurate. At kung iisipin ninyo, mga kapatid, yung mga disciples, they were terrified. They were hiding. Baga mga buntot na nagtatago. Takot sila na sila din mamatay. Walang makapagpapalabas sa lungga sa mga takot na mga disciples. How would you explain the boldness that they had immediately after they saw the resurrected Christ? How would you explain that? Na naglabasan sila lahat with all courage and boldness, and they began proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ and proclaiming that Jesus indeed is alive. And that also explains siguro why Christianity grew and prospered exponentially until our time. Kaya wala pong makapagpasubali nito. Ang mga disciples mismo ang nagpatunay. Pangalawa, the testimonies, no? Testimonies of his enemies. Mahalaga po ito, mga kapatid, no? Alam nyo, para lang matiyak ng mga Hudyo at ng mga Romano na hindi mawawala yung katawan ni Jesus Christ doon sa tomb, ay talaga pong kanilang una, they secured it properly sa pamamagitan ng tatlong bagay. Una, isang malaking bato. It's a large stone. Pangalawa, mayroong Roman seal. At pangatlo, mayroong mga Roman soldiers. Isa-isahin po natin ito. No? Yung pong bato daw na ginamit, o sabi ng mga naunang scholars, no, Bible scholars at mga archaeologists, ay ang size daw po nito, ang dimension nito is 4 feet to 6 feet in diameter, 1 foot thick. Ganun kakapal. At weighing 1 to 2 tons. Ito yung traditional view of the stone that was used by the Romans, no? Kasi naaalala nyo, nung inilibing si Jesus Christ doon sa libingan ni Joseph of Arimathea, no? Yung pong pinakabunganga nung kuweba o nung libingan na ito na ginamit, ay merong bato na para siyang disc, no? Disc na ganyan. Tapos elevated siya, pagka isasara mo na, meron siyang groove. O parang merong railing, no? Na papagulungin mo pababa. Papagulungin po baba. So madaling ibaba. Pero mahirap iangat. Kasi nga descending. At pakikita mo daw yun, nung sinabi ni Matthew that nung nakita nila Mary daw yung stone, it was rolled away. The word used there was kulio, rolled away. The stone was rolled away. Kaya lang, most recently, may mga nagsabi na mukha daw hindi disc-shaped rolling stone yung ginamit. Mukha daw ang ginamit ay yung cork shape, para siyang tapon, para siyang para siyang cork na hindi siya niro-roll but pinupush forward, no? At siniselyohan. Ito naman, makikita mo doon sa kay John. Nung ginamit ni John sa John chapter 20, hindi ginamit yung salitang kulyo, kundi ang ginamit ay hairo. Meaning to say, the stone was not rolled away, but the stone was taken away or removed. Interesting. Pero hindi na mahalaga kung anong klaseng bato yun. Ang mahalaga, mahirap itulak yung bato. Kaya kung si Jesus nahimatay lang, imagine mo yung bugbog sarado ka at ikaw ay balina ang buto mo. Sabihin natin ganyan, ano? Paano po maitutulak yung bato palabas? It's impossible for someone from the inside to push the stone upward or to roll it upward or to even push it, no, away. Okay. Pangalawa, hindi lamang yung stone, but the seal. The Roman seal was placed on the stone. At alam nyo, anyone who attempts to break this, the seal, ang punishment dito is capital punishment or death. At naglagay pa ng mga sundalo. Hindi ito mga temple guards, ha? Ang ginamit dito, mga Roman soldiers, and they were approximately 16 of them. At hindi sila pwedeng maupo, hindi sila pwedeng mahiga, hindi sila pwedeng matulog, at sino mang mahuli na matutulog o nakatulog in the line of duty will be burned alive. I mean, that's how secured, no, the tomb was. Talagang tiniyak nila na hindi pwedeng mawala ang katawan at hindi pwedeng mabuksan itong tomb na ito. At sa sobrang tindi ng precautionary measures na ginawa to lock down Jesus, alam nyo ba, the Jewish leaders stayed at home and they slept very well. Because they knew that they nailed Jesus, they contained Jesus, and wala nang ibang pupuntahan si Jesus ang kanyang katawan. Kaya nung nawala na yung katawan ni Jesus doon sa tomb, ay nataranta yung mga Jewish leaders paano nangyari ito. In fact, sabi po sa kay John, yung pong mga Roman soldiers, they were para silang mga nahimatay lahat nung nagkaroon ng earthquake. At itong mga Jewish leaders, no, when they heard that the body was missing, no, sa halip na paniwalaan nila na si Jesus ay nabuhay na maguli, alam nyo, ang ginawa nila, nagbayad pa sila ng malaki sa mga Roman soldiers to spread the fake news that the body of Jesus was stolen. Wow. Meaning, they confirmed that indeed, the tomb was empty. Meron pong sinabi dito si Timothy Keller, no? So, why is this important? Bakit napakahalaga na nailagay sa scriptures ito na yung mga Jewish leaders na ito ay talagang ibinalita nila na nawawala si Jesus, ano? Sabi niya, remember that the Jewish leaders were opposed to Christianity. They were opposed to Christianity. They were hostile witnesses. In acknowledging the empty tomb, they were admitting the reality of a fact that was certainly not in their favor. So why would they admit that the tomb was empty? Unless the evidence was too strong to be denied. Sabi ni Dr. Paul Meyer, sabi niya, he calls this the positive evidence from a hostile source. Alam mo yun, merong positive evidence pero nanggaling sa mga kaaway. In essence, if a source admits a fact that is decidedly not in its favor, the fact is genuine. Now, hindi lamang testimony of the disciples and testimony of the enemies, but number three is circumstantial evidences. Tandaan po natin that the tomb was new. Wala pa pong gumagamit ito. Ang tanging nandung katawan lang ay katawan ni Jesus Christ. At kaya hindi makukonfuse ito na baka may ibang katawang yun nawala o may ibang katawang naiwan. Tanging si Jesus lang po ang nandun. At noong si Peter ay humangos patungo doon sa tomb para tingnan kung anong nangyari, doon po sa John, ang sabi doon ay he looked inside. He looked into the linen, he looked into the clothes, he looked into the tomb, it was empty. At ang word na ginamit ay hindi lang yung pangkaraniwang salita na ginagamit sa Griego na look. But the word used in Greek is blepo. Ang ibig sabihin po ng blepo is to ponder, to think, to process. So Peter, while he was standing there, he was processing what's happening. What happened? Hindi siya yung gullible na naliwana lang bigla na, nabuhay na mga, na nga si Jesus mula sa mga patay. No, he processed it with his mind. He pondered it. At ito mga, siguro ito mga iniisip niya, no, kung si Jesus na-revive lang, no? At nagising siya at nawala na yung pagkawala ng ulirat niya, bumangon siya bag-isa, Eh bakit yung linen, yung cloth ay hindi nakapunit-punit? Siguro iniisip din niya, kung ito naman ay kinuha ng mga kaibigan ni Jesus, no? Bakit naman ini-dishonor yung body ni Jesus sapagkat kukuha nilang nakahubad? Di ba, laking kahihiyan noon, but naman uhubaran nila si Jesus, kukunin, but in, at kung yung mga kalaban naman ang nagnakaw, yung mga kalaban, isipin natin kalaban ang nagtangay talaga ng katawan, eh ba't naman iiwanan yung damit? So Peter was actually thinking, no, bakit nga ba? He was testing all the possible hypotheses, meaning to say, ang faith hindi lang emotional, but faith is also rational. It is rational. At isipin nyo pa, sa panahon po ng mga Israelita, kapag ka meron isang lugar na talagang mahimala, they venerate it. They cordon the place and then they make it sacred and they declare that this is a holy place. Pero nyo po ba, for so many years, the tomb was never venerated. Why? Because the body of Jesus was never there. Amen. At isa pang matindi na circumstantial evidence, ito medyo, siguro isipin natin na medyo off ito, no? Medyo evidence ba to o hindi? Ito po yun. Women witnesses. Nung unang pong panahon, no, hindi sa panahon natin, nung unang panahon, hindi po masyadong pinaniniwalaan ang testimonya ng mga babae. Ganun sila ka-marginalized at ganun ang prejudice against them. No. Sabi nga, women could not testify in Jewish or Roman courts. In those patriarchal cultures, a woman's testimony was considered unreliable, so inadmissible as evidence. This means that if you were fabricating an account of the resurrection in order to promote your religion or your movement, you would never make a woman the first eyewitness. Kung magpapropagate ka daw ng yung movement at ng yung pananampalataya, hindi ka gagamit ng mga babae as your witness. And yet, in the accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first eyewitnesses to the resurrection are women. And the only historical plausible answer to why women are in the account at all, why all the men who wrote these accounts would put women on their testimony was considered unreliable, is because it must have happened. Mary must have been there. She must have seen Jesus Christ first. There's no other motive or reason for the author to say she was. So kita po natin mga kapatid, itong mga disciples na ito, they did not believe, they were not gullible, no, to believe na, alam mo yun, they were emotionally carried away, kaya they just believed. No, they thought about it. And they processed it. So we can say faith is not irrational. Faith is rational. And looking at the evidences, we could say Jesus did rise from the dead. He is alive. So na-disarm na natin yung dalawang stone, ano? The stone of disbelief, and then pangalawa, the stone of doubt. Dapat wala nang room for doubt. Huwag na nating pag-alinlanganan ng Panginoon sapagkat mayroon namang ebidensya, no? Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, no? The substance of the things that we expect. And let us believe in the Lord by faith. Okay? Pangatlo is the stone of despair. The stone of despair. So nakita natin that faith is impossible. Ano, without the help of God, we cannot express or even exercise faith. Pangalawa, faith is rational. No, faith is rational. Hindi po ito irrational. Faith is not a leap in the dark. No, gusto ko yung sinabi ng isa kong kaibigan pastor. Sabi niya, faith is not a leap in the dark knowing not where you're landing. But faith is a jump into the arms of a loving Father. So that makes it personal. And that's my third point, no? To disarm itong the stone of despair. Faith is personal. Let's take a look at Mary. In John chapter 20. She was inconsolable. But even if, no, she was emotionally down and despondent, no, she did something, and together with other women, did something that nobody else did. And that was, they went to the tomb very early in the morning, while it was dark. Madilim pa. And their intention, no, Mary's intention, is to prepare the body of Jesus, to put some spices and herbs, no, to preserve the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So itong pagkakataon na to, this is really something special because Mary did not go to the tomb to receive anything from the Lord. She was there to give something to the Lord. Kasi ano ba bang aasahan mo, di ba? Wala ka nang mapapala eh, di ba? Katawan na lang yun eh. All your dreams were dashed. All your hopes are gone. Ano pang maibibigay ni Jesus sa'yo na patay na, di ba? And yet, Jesus or Mary, no, volunteered, no, to do something for the body of Jesus. And that was such a noble motivation to go there. Ni si Pedro, hindi nag-volunteer gawin yun. Si Andrew, hindi rin nag-volunteer. So Mary, dala-dala niya yung spices. Bakit? Kasi she was expecting that she will find the body there. She was not expecting that the tomb will be vacant. She was not expecting any miracle. No one among the disciples expected any miracle that will ever happen. There was a time that they dared dream. Meron pa naman, nangarap po sila eh. Pero wala na yun eh. Kasi nakita nila yung kamay na nagpakain ng maraming mga tao, pinako sa krus, yung paa na naglakad doon sa dagat ng Galilea, napako din sa krus eh. Yung Panginoong minamahal nila, nakita nila kung paano namatay. It's not the time to dream again. It's not the time to dream. But when she arrived, to her surprise, the stone was already moved. Either na itulak na yung bato paakyat o na itulak na hatak yung bato palabas. Hindi na importante yun sa atin, na mahalaga. Wala na yung bato sa bunganga o sa pintuan ng kuweba kung saan inilibing si Jesus. Bakit kailangan mawala yung bato, di ba? Kaya naman ni Jesus na kung nagawa niyang mabuhay na maguli, di ba kaya niyang lumusot na lang doon sa bato? Ba't kinakailangan pang alisin yung bato? Di ba? Ba't kinakailangan i-move yung bato? Sabi ni Max Lucado, the stone was moved not because, you know, Jesus needed to get out so that Jesus can get out of the tomb. It was not for Jesus. The stone was taken away so that the disciples can come in. Not for him to get out, but for the disciples to come in. So even at this moment, no, Jesus, no, was inviting us to come and see and come and experience and come and have an encounter with Him. Kaya, bago pa magmadaling araw, wala na si Jesus doon. Nakalimutan nyo na ba? Early riser si Jesus. Maaga siya gumising. And look at how the Lord tenderly dealt with Mary. Tinanong siya ng Panginoon, "Why are you crying? Why are you crying?" Kasi akala ni Mary, yung kausap niya doon, hardinero. Kaya tinanong niya, why are you crying? That's a probing question. Anong reason ba't ka umiiyak? Why are you inconsolable? No, sabi niya, eh, kasi pupunta ako dito, lilinisan ko sana yung katawan ng Panginoon ko, tapos biglang nawala. No? Baka naman kinuha ninyo. Akala niya kasi, yung kausap niya ay hardinero. And then, pangalawang tanong ng Lord na hindi niya nakilala, ang pangalawang tanong niya ay, who are you looking for? Sino bang hinahanap mo? Bakit ba tinanong ng Lord yun? No? Kasi nga una, he was mistaken for a gardener. He was mistaken for a gardener. So parang tingin niya, yung kaharap niya ngayon is just as helpless as she was. You're just a gardener, no? You're caring for the garden, but not for people. No? And a gardener, siguro yun lang ang alam ni Mary. Ang kausap niya, isang hardinero. Someone who plants, someone who grows, who harvests, but does not create seeds or cause the sun to shine and the rain to fall. No? Hardinero lang eh. No? And how many times have we relegated the Lord to just an ordinary workman? And how many times have we thought less of Him? And how many times have we doubted His ability to help us? And how many times have we doubted His wisdom? And how often did we question His love and concern? Does He care? Does He care for me? Does He care for me now? So dito lang sa tanong na to, pinapakita na, alam mo, no matter how great the love and the devotion of Mary for Jesus was, ang estimate pa rin ni Mary about Jesus is so little. Because she was looking for the dead Jesus. She was looking for the dead Christ. Sabi nga ni D.A. Carson, this question widens her horizons and she recognized that grand as her devotion to Him was, her estimate of Him was far too small. Di ba ganun din tayo? Madalas ang liit lang ng tingin natin sa Diyos. Kaya ang pananampalataya natin walang nararating. Actually, ang lakas ng pananampalataya natin ay hindi nakabatay sa kung gaano natin talagang pag-iigihan yung ating pananampalataya. Our faith is based on the object of our faith. Sino ba yung ating pinananampalatayanan? Problema dito, ang tingin ni Mary, si Jesus ay patay na. Pero dito pinakita na hindi ako patay, buhay na buhay ako. No, buhay si Jesus. Kaya nga, kung maliit ang tingin natin sa Diyos, talagang lumalaki yung problema natin. Kaya madalas tayong masipayo, madalas tayong mabigo, at madalas nating isipin, kaya ba akong tulungan ng Diyos? Mahal niya ba talaga ako? Nalalaman ba ng Diyos kung anong dinadaanan ko? Ngayon, gusto kong patunayan sa iyo, kapatid, that He is very personal and He's reaching out to you. Look at Mary, no? While her faith on Jesus was so small, Jesus did something, no? Did something really, really intimate. Ang sabi po dun sa verse, sinabi ni Jesus, Mary. Wow, this is the typical Jesus, you know, the personal Jesus na Mary knew. The voice, di ba? Sinasabi, the sheep knows the voice of the shepherd. Kaya ito, kung paanong binanggit ni Jesus ang pangalan ni Mary in all its tenderness, then Mary was reminded. Mary, suddenly, no, there was a flash of lightning and understanding and there was a burst of, you know, comprehension, no, having heard her name personally and tenderly mentioned by Jesus. Kaya napasigaw siya. Sabi niya, Rabboni, Master. So, Jesus wants to encounter you. Siguro kilala mo si Jesus as the Savior of the world. He has forgiven the sins of mankind. Pero kung hindi mo pa nararanasan siyang maging personal Savior mo at maranasan na mahugasan ang iyong sariling kasalanan, probably you have never heard the Lord call your name. And right now, the Lord is calling you. Your life will change if you will have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Kaya imagine how Jesus broke through, not only with His physical resurrection, but with helping people understand how much He loves them. So the God of miracles strikes again. Ang Diyos na hindi mo pwedeng i-contain, hindi mo pwedeng i-quarantine, si Jesus Christ na you can never stop Him, He's unstoppable, He's uncontainable, He did a miracle again. And the greatest of all miracles, rising from the dead. Kaya, nung sabi ni Max Lucado, just when the womb gets too old for babies, Sarai gets pregnant. Just when the failure is too great for grace, David was pardoned. Just when the road is too dark for Mary, the angel glows and the Savior shows, and Mary was never the same again. And to think that Jesus specifically chose a woman, not a man, a reformed mental patient, not a pillar of the community, one of the support team, not one of the leaders. Well, it doesn't matter what your situation or condition in life is, your education, your surname, your school, your accomplishments, no? But imagine the Lord showing Himself to someone that people despise. Someone like Mary Magdalene. Kaya kapatid, never give up. The stone will be moved again because Jesus is alive. Amen po ba? Amen. So we have seen that these stones are meant to stop us. The stone of unbelief, the stone of doubt, the stone of despair. They were all meant to block you from really seeing Jesus and having a meaningful encounter with Him. Remember this, whatever stone is blocking you, no? Maaring may mga bato sa buhay mo ngayon nakaharang, siguro stone of sicknesses or stone of financial difficulty or maybe a stone of a relationship that doesn't work, a stone that hinders you from achieving your dreams. Remember this, Jesus is alive and He still moves stones. Hear His voice. Listen to Him, mention your name, and seek Him, and have a personal encounter with Him, and your life will never be the same again. Purihin ang Panginoon because faith, yes, it's impossible, because it's a gift from God. It is also rational, and it is also personal. And all of this is used by God, you know, to move the stone of disbelief, to take away the stone of doubts, you know, and to roll away the stone of despair. No need to cry anymore. No need to feel sad anymore because we have hope. Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Let's rejoice with the truth that Jesus indeed is alive. Tayo po'y manalangin, mga kapatid. Habang tayo'y nakapikit, marahil ang usap ang Panginoon sa iyo, do you have a stone of disbelief? Maybe you're asking, Lord, are you real? Or do you have a stone of doubt? Maaring sinasabi mo, tanong mo sa iyong sarili, Lord, how long will this end? This quarantine, this predicament, this problem? Maaring tinatanong mo rin. No, you're questioning your faith. Lord, I know that you care, but I don't know if you care for me. And I don't know if you care for me now. Kapatid, dispel that doubt. Jesus loves you and Jesus cares for you. He cares for you even right now. And if you are in despair right now, probably you're in the bed of sickness, or probably your loved one has been afflicted with sickness, do not despair, because God is our healer. God is our protector. You only have to trust the Lord during this season, during this time. You have to invite Jesus into your heart. And you can pray with me if you want to have Him as a Savior and Lord of your life. You pray with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love. I recognize that I am sinful. Forgive me for all my sins. And I trust you. I want you to come into my heart as my Savior and my Lord. And thank you for calling me by name. Now I know that you truly love me and that you truly care for me. Thank you for your love and forgiveness. And thank you for the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray that prayer, you now have a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ, and I want you to have an ongoing relationship with Him. Sabi ni Jesus, I have to go and go to my Father, because our relationship, Mary, will no longer be this close, but much closer, because the Holy Spirit will come inside of you. And you will have me forever. Jesus wants to have an ongoing relationship with you. Hindi lang minsan, kundi panghabang buhay at pangbuhay na walang hanggan. So, sino man sa atin na mayroong mga takot, dalhin ko sa Panginoon that the Lord will remove the fear in your heart. If you're in despair, I declare that the Lord will remove that depression, that discouragement, and replace it with hope. Because Jesus is alive. He is with you. He is with me. And He is not only with us, but He is for us. God bless you, brothers and sisters.